Joining us now, he's the commissioner of the LPGA. Mike Wan joins us. Mike, welcome into the golf shop.
Good morning, Mark and Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hey, Mike, I was one of those people who was live streaming your State of the Sport address, and I loved it. I'm, you know, as you know, and I think our listeners have finally figured out, I love the LPGA. I'm a huge advocate for women's golf and women's sports, but you know, you guys have had a great year, and even putting the amazing Solheim Cup results and the fervor that came along with it aside, it was still a banner year. Can you explain to our listeners why this was such an important year and the success that the LPGA found?
Well, I think you got a few things going on. One is I think you've got a depth of talent at the top of the leaderboard like women's golf has never seen before. It used to be there was, you know, 20, 25 players you could say were really the ones that were going to win a tournament, and that number is probably like 75 now. This year, we had 12 players finish with an average score of under 70 for the season. The record history in the LPGA would be 5. So we more than doubled the record of players. I said to somebody, I was flying back from Asia, and I was just looking at stats when I got some Wi-Fi in the air. If you hit 70% of your greens and regulations this year, you'd just barely be 50th on the tour. So there's 49. If you're hitting 70% of greens and regulation, there's 49 players doing better than you. Those are staggering numbers when you think about the number of players shooting under 70 every day and, you know, what it takes to compete at the highest level. It took us, I think it was our week 17 or 18 before we had a two-time winner on tour. So it's, you know, the amount of players at the top, I think we changed the number one world ranking bib on tour 5 times this year. So it's incredibly difficult to hang on the LPGA and even more difficult to really stay on the top.
Now, and isn't there a fairly recent, you know, tour champion who, you know, had a better average scoring year this year than she had the year she won it, and she wasn't in the top 50?
Yeah, I said, you know, there were probably about 7 women that had averages that would have gotten them the VAR trophy, which is our trophy for the lowest scoring average any other year, but this year. And it's just, it's amazing to see what's happening at the absolute top of the leaderboard. I mean, it's so many people ask me all year, what's wrong with Lydia Ko? Because she won 5 times last year. I said, you know, what's wrong with somebody who top 10s almost every time she tees it off? I think it's just, it's hard to keep piling up wins on tour. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Lydia Ko. She just continues to hang on the top of the leaderboards. It's just, I think people get used to, you know, multiple wins and they think it's going to stay like that. It's been a good time for, you know, for women's sports. I mean, look at the top 5 or 10 in the Rolex World Rankings. We typically have 6 or 7 different countries in those rankings. So for us, we really are all about selling our TV rights worldwide. It's that's back to your original question. That makes it a banner year because when you got top players from Korea, from China, from Japan, from Australia, you know, from Europe and America, it makes our TV viewing. I've said this many times. I don't know too many other sports right now that could claim to have TV viewership increases every year over the last 5 years. Everybody seems to be struggling with TV viewership. Ours were up 16% last year, so it's nice to see what's happening, not only in the States. I mean, those viewership numbers are just United States, but our worldwide numbers are growing even faster.
Yeah, and I think what you start to see is even down on the Symetra Tour, you start to see how competition levels have gone up maybe even in the last 4 years, we'll say, where, you know, it used to be where the ones that made it through and got their card through the Symetra Tour standings, you know, were struggling to, you know, retain their card. Now you're starting to see where some of those graduates are retaining cards. They're challenging to win golf tournaments, in some cases winning golf tournaments. So you get to see it from the bottom up as well, don't you?
Yeah, the Symetra Tour, I would tell you, is 100% different than it was just 5 years ago. First, in terms of the actual opportunity. I mean, we're playing for 50% more tournaments, more than 100% more income. They used to play for 3 LPGA cards. Now they play for 10. And, you know, this last year, the 10 graduates that graduated, they came from 7 different countries. So, I mean, Symetra Tour used to be mostly an American tour. And now it's just as global as, I mean, it's still primarily U.S. players, but it's incredibly global as well, just like the LPGA Tour, because players from all over the world are trying to make it to the LPGA. And the way to make it to the LPGA is through Symetra. It's to your point, you know, too, I mean, I think I want to say 7 of the 10 players that graduated the year before were all in the CME Group Tour Championship, which is pretty much the hardest tournament to get into in the season. I mean, Madeline Sagstrom, who won the money list 2 years ago, was in the Cup. So There was a time, I mean, just literally 2 years ago, somebody won twice on the Symetra Tour and didn't get her card. 5 years ago, if you'd have won once on the Symetra Tour, you probably could have sat home the rest of the year because you were going to finish top 10. Now you could win two or three times and still not make it. That just tells you the level of consistency you have to play. Used to be, I think 3 years ago, if you finished number 10 on the Symetra Tour, you made about 50 grand. If you won the Symetra Tour, you won about 50 grand. Now, if you finished 10th, 11th, 12th, you'd make more than that. So it's the opportunities are bigger. The players are coming from all over, and the talent that is supplying to the LPGA is really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, we know the PGA Tour plays some events around the world, but you guys are probably more of a global tour than any other professional golf tour in existence. I mean, what is the challenge of that, having to deal with having events in so many countries around the world?
Yeah, it's an incredible opportunity. It's incredible education. It's also incredibly taxing, both physically and mentally. But, I've had a lot of other sports call us and say, how come you guys can sell your TV rights to 172 countries? Can you help us be more global? But then you'll talk about, if you want to be more global, you can't do that from your desk, and you can't fly from Detroit to Des Moines. You gotta go. And then, never mind. Everybody wants to be global, but they really don't want to go commit to being global. In our case, when we've been going to Thailand for 10 years. When we started to go to Thailand, women didn't play golf in Thailand. You could go to a golf course and never see a woman playing. Now, not only are women playing, but I think we got 7 or 8 players on tour from Thailand. And I can make the same story about, Malaysia and Taiwan. It's, I'm not saying that we can take full pride in that, but the bottom line is what's happening around the world is a complete change in mind shift about who the game is for and who are the best. And in a lot of countries that we go to, the best female athletes in those countries, period, the best athletes from those countries are golfers, and they're playing on the LPGA. So for those sports fans in those countries, if you want to see your best female athlete, the way to see her is to watch the LPGA and to watch it every week. And that's why we do so well on TV. That's why our crowds are so large when we play overseas. In a lot of cases, it's almost a government experience. It's their Olympics. As one guy told me one time, the best players in the world in any sport don't come to Kuala Lumpur, every couple of years. America's probably used to that. But when the best female golfers in the world come to Kuala Lumpur, we're the first 5 pages of the sports page. Tickets are sold out. It's, government officials are out there. It's really, and I think a lot of our rookies kind of look around and go, my gosh, I didn't expect this. But we really, we're the biggest game in town. And it's great for the girls. It's great for the sport. And most importantly, it's great for women's golf to see that kind of exposure.
Oh, well, we're excited to be talking to Mike Wan, the commissioner of the LPGA. And Mike, I ran into you. You and I were both in Des Moines, obviously. And what did Des Moines do that was so right? I have been to every major sporting event there is, and I thought the Solheim Cup was right at the top of my list, right with Super Bowls and Game 7s and things like that. It was amazing. Des Moines got it right, and as Charlotte gets ready to host a President's Cup, and there are other, opportunities coming down the road, what did Des Moines do to get it so right?
Well, I mean, Des Moines owned it. I mean, a lot of times you bring a big sporting event to a city, and the city will think, well, that's so and so's event, whoever the title sponsor is, But Des Moines decided this was going to be their message, and so when you saw it, when you looked around that first tee, or quite frankly, any tee, you went to any one of the concerts at night, almost every corporation from Des Moines got involved to make that to make that as big as possible. I mean, this was not just a golf event in Des Moines. This was Des Moines hosting a global sports event. And I mean, I literally, one day I literally spent and I went to everybody's booth, every corporate box anywhere on the golf course, and it took a full day to kind of get to everybody's place. But I mean, when I finished that, I could pretty much tell you every company that was located in Des Moines, because they all got involved and they brought customers in and they let their employees, you gave employees time off to volunteer. And at the end of the day, Des Moines took as much pride in that as did the U.S. team that won, or the LPGA for hosting it. And it was, when it's really right, when these sporting events really get it right, it's not just about a sporting event. It's about a town or a city putting on a hospitality event and hosting an event that they can really showcase to the rest of the world. One guy told me, I won't tell you the company, but he said, Mike, we viewed this as our Olympics. We knew that you were coming with the best athletes in the world. We knew 100,000 plus fans were coming and the whole world would be watching. And so this was our opportunity to show the world that Des Moines gets it in a big way, and golf can be played at the highest level. So it's and that feeling was throughout almost every corporation I talked to.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to you and the city. I mean, it was really by far the best sporting event I've ever attended. And I'm curious now, as we look toward 2018, Q School's just finished up. We've got our 10 Symmetrator graduates. Are there players out there that we as golf fans may not be aware of? And we all know Lexi and Paula and Lydia and those guys and Shan. Are there players that we should be aware of, maybe, you know, in the realm of a Madeline Sagstrom or, are there some folks that we should be paying attention to going into this year and start building a fan base around?
Well, what I tell you is, in my 8 years as commissioner, every time I get asked a question about what's going to happen inside the ropes, I'm about 0-80 in my predictions. I mean, I think I'm a pretty good golf guy. You know, I know most of these athletes, you know, pretty well. But, you know, what's actually going to happen when the green flag comes out? You know, I'm not great at predicting. But I would tell you that the rookies that we're seeing coming on tour today are not like the rookies from 10 years ago. They're showing up ready to win. I've said this many times, but I mean, if you grew up in Julie Inkster's era, you probably got great coaching and great nutrition and great, you know, physiotherapists, and all those things were really available to you probably about the time you turned professional and got to the LPGA Tour. Now all those things are happening when you're 12 and 13 years old. So when these players are 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, that they've had the level of training that players used to have by the time they were 26 and 27. And the result of that is players not only able to win right off the bat, but expecting to win. And if you saw, you know, at Solheim Cup, and you saw players like Georgia Hall, who's going to be coming from the Ladies European Tour, and, you know, and now going to be on the LPGA next year. And you know, she's not going to be your normal rookie. I mean, she's going to expect to win right now. And I think other players are probably going to expect her to win. And we've got, I would say there's a Georgia Hall from 7 different countries coming. And so it's an exciting time. And I'm always excited about the new countries represented in the LPGA. I mean, last week at rookie orientation, you know, I met the first player from Puerto Rico. You know, I met the first player from Hong Kong. And, it's funny because I remember meeting the first player from Thailand, and I remember meeting the first player from Iceland, and it just changes the way a country thinks about the game. And I think right now there is no more borderless sport in the world than women's golf, which is why the Olympics invited us and appreciated what we brought. Because, you know, when you think about it, what the Olympics wants is a sport that the world is engaged in and everybody wants to compete at. And we walked in as a rookie in the Olympics in 2016, and we're probably as global as any sport in the entire tent.
All right, Mike, one other question that I have for you is, you know, kind of what's next? I mean, from a scheduling tournament perspective, I mean, obviously we know tournaments are a lot of times dictated by sponsorship, but is there a market or a country that you're in the process of working on or anything along those lines from a scheduling standpoint?
Well, we two things. I mean, we really believe in a two-month off-season. I don't know if I say we, like I talk for everybody, but I would say the commissioner really believes in a two-month off-season. I want the players to recharge. I want us to recharge. I want the fans to miss us. And so we take a break at U.S. Thanksgiving, and then we come back third week of January. We'll try to maintain that as we look forward in the years. We've got three new stops in 2018. We're going to add an event in LA, we're going to add an event. We're going to return to an event in San Francisco, and then we'll add an event overseas. We've got actually three new events kind of contracted already for 2019, two in the U.S. and one overseas. But I'm still going to try to keep this, you know, 34 to 36 event schedule. I like that number. I think that creates great fields every week, great fan excitement every week. And so hopefully I can kind of keep that about the total number. You know, one of the things I think you'll see in some of these events we're going to bring on in 2019 is two of the three are unique formats. They're not 4-day stroke play individual. They're going to be official money, but we're going to provide some different approaches to the same outcome. And then I think the other thing you could probably look for is we slowly but surely continue to expand our network TV coverage on the weekend. When I started, we had one tournament on network TV. Now we have 7. And I really want to get that number to about 15 or 16. I think if we can showcase the LPGA to the average casual fan on a more regular basis, that's the key to having the kind of TV viewership increases that we've seen the last 7 or 8 years continuing. Because I think when people haven't seen the LPGA for a while or have never seen it and then stumble into it, the reaction is always the same. That's just better than I expected. And so just like the Olympics did for us, when a broader range of casual fans witnesses us, they tend to come back and follow us. And so, you know, that's the goals for us are to keep playing, to keep raising purses, you know, continue to be committed to being a global sport, but at the same time here in America, really start showcasing the sport on a network level on a more regular basis.
Well, Mike, before we let you go, I'm curious, as a Symetra Tour city here in Charlotte, is how far away are we from having the Symetra Tour scores showing up more frequently on the Golf Channel or on the ESPN golf page or things like that? I mean, that's one of the things that a lot of our patrons have asked is when are we going to see those scores showing up on TV?
Yeah, we've worked out with the Golf Channel that we'll be showing more and more of it at a minimum top 10 and top 10 status, you know, with the Symetra Tour. It's, it's not necessarily a televised tour for two reasons. One is, I want to make sure we can keep playing. When you add the cost of TV to a sponsor, your number of sponsors goes down. You also, limit a bunch of other things you can do for that tour. We really want to make that tour about getting ready for the LPGA, and if we really make it about TV, the cost, even the cost of the players that get tied back into that get expensive. But I think what you'll see there in Symetra is, and I think you guys have probably talked about it, we're coming back third week in May. It'll probably be a Saturday night finish because I think NASCAR is there that weekend, and we might see if we can do something together with them on Saturday night, kind of after our finish. And so, bringing the Symetra Classic back to Charlotte is an exciting stop for us. And I'll be honest with you, there's a couple of new announcements we'll probably make in the next couple of months that'll be we're going to bring an even, kind of an even bigger part of our Q school to the state of North Carolina at the end of 2018 and probably stay there for a number of years. So hold tight for that announcement. But I would say that not only Symetra Classic in May, but expect some pretty good golf in October in North Carolina from the LPGA when we announce that in about 30 days.
All right. Well, Mike, as always, we love having you on the show. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks for covering us, guys. We appreciate it.